Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Cohn and Kruger. I'm Grant Cohn. That's Larry Kruger. Title of today's show, for at least on mine, is Why the Niners Defense Should Be Vastly Improved. I sort of had a light bulb moment, an aha moment, and it's positive. This is good stuff. So I guess, could we start right there, or should we start with Ricky Pearsall? Let's start with something good.
Yeah, let's start with something good.
Talanoa Hufanga.
What's your revelation on the Niner D?
My revelation is that Talanoa Hufanga matters to this team. Maybe we should have known that already. Like, he's an all-pro safety. A lot of people kind of go back and act like he didn't deserve it that year. He makes plays in the run game, in the pass game. He's a playmaker. And I looked it up. Played 10 games last year. He missed 10 games. Niners played 20 games, including the playoffs. In the 10 games he played, the defense gave up 15.7 points per game. In the 10 games he didn't play, the defense gave up 21.8 points per game. That's a touchdown. He's a really important player. He's good against the run. He's good against the pass. They're getting him back. Assuming he makes a full recovery like most NFL players do from this injury, it's a big addition to their defense.
I wouldn't push back and disagree, but I guess I would throw this out. Is he really good, or are the guys behind him really bad? Like, you know, they always say next man up, but that's kind of a saying. You're only as good as how good that next guy who's next up is. I just kind of felt like they were paper thin at safety. Gibson can't cover at all. I mean, I think Gibson's just a high percentage interceptor who's not good in coverage and not particularly good against the run. And Hufanga, you take him out, then you had a rookie in Jair Brown getting more time. And I think Hufanga's really, really good against the run as far as identifying when it is a run. I mean, look at his anticipation, the way he attacked the mesh point on all those handoffs, especially early on. I think he's really good, but I think that's as much about the guys that came on and after him are really not good.
I think he's one of the best strong safeties in the league. And I agree that the guys after him aren't that good, but the guy after him was Jair Brown, who to me plays more like a free safety. He doesn't really make as many plays in the backfield, but he does make plays in coverage. He makes a lot of plays in coverage. He has more range than Talanoa Hufanga. I know they're built similarly and they ran similar 40 times, but I think Jair Brown is going to be the free safety, and Talanoa Hufanga is the strong safety this team was missing last year. Like, they were really bad against the run down the stretch. They really struggled against the run against Detroit in the NFC Championship game, and probably, I mean, they easily could have lost that game because of that. So,
one thing I would amend to that is, I thought they were horrible against the run all year. I asked Shanahan, you were sitting right next to me right at the end of the preseason. I'm like, what about the run D? You know? And he's like, well, if it was based on what we looked like in the preseason against the Raiders and the Chargers and the Broncos, he's like, yeah, I'd be with you. But you know what? We got a pretty good track record here of being good against the run. But yeah, but that's when you had Jimmy Ward and Emmanuel Mosley and Samson Ebukam and Azeez Al-Shaair, you know what I mean? And it's like they depleted their depth to go get Hargrave, and they got rid of like five guys that were all pretty good against the run on all three levels of their defense to make room for the pass rushing Hargrave. And then Hargrave gave them marginal pass rush, and they were a sieve. I mean, they got pushed around. I mean, I agree with you. They were worse down the stretch, but they were bad in the preseason. And if you go back and look at them, Grant, I don't even think they were really good against the run ever last year. I just think that they got so many points in that Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh stopped running. Arizona stopped running. They got Dallas stopped running. All these teams stopped running at halftime. But if anybody who actually committed to the run, like Cleveland did, like Minnesota did, like some of these other teams did, there was no resistance.
Yeah, and I think a big issue with the reason for that was the front seven. The front seven was pretty soft last year. And then once Talanoa Hufanga went down, the Niners were playing a couple free safeties at safety. And the whole defense was pretty soft against the run at that point. So With Hufanga, he's going to be interesting. This is a contract year for him. No one's talking about his extension or what he's going to be asking for after this year. If he has another season in 2024 like he had in 2022, he's going to be able to ask for up to $20 million a year. He's going to be in the Minkah Fitzpatrick range because he fills up a stat sheet like Minkah Fitzpatrick does. Forced fumbles, sacks, tackles, pass defense, interceptions. Like, he's consistent with that stuff.
Makes, what do you make of the whispers that he was going to be traded this offseason? And is he going to be back for week one?
I don't know. I would assume he'll be back for week one. And what I make of that is the Niners are concerned about whether they can afford him. I mean, if they're going to give all this money to Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy, can they afford to have an all-pro safety? It's an expensive player. They don't typically spend on that position. So maybe the Niners felt that they could replace him, but Jair Brown is not Talanoa Hufanga. Hufanga really, really, when they had him healthy, they were the number one defense in the league. And when he was out, they definitely were not. So, hey, maybe I'm making too much of his impact, but I think people aren't making enough of his impact. We'll find out.
No, I mean, I love him as a player too. You know, he's better closer to the line than he is down the field.
Agreed.
But if you, as long as he doesn't have to defend a ton of passes down the field, you know, we did see him rise up in that Green Bay game in Green Bay and made a big, big play on the ball, deep ball late in that game, the playoff game, against Rodgers. So we know it's in there, but, the question I would have is, I know they love their new safety, Malik Mustafa, but is Mustafa, do they see him as a free safety or do they see him as a strong safety?
I think it's really easy.
It seems like it's really easy to find guys who are, you know, if you play a lot of cover three, it's easy to find the guy that's in the box safety. It's hard as heck to find the Earl Thomas, you know, the guy who's going to cover the field. And I wonder is it Malik Mustafa? Is it maybe Renardo Green? Is it somebody we're not thinking of? I don't know, but they that free safety.
Yeah, instead, though, Cam Chancellor was really important to that defense. He was great. He was great. They never really replaced him. You know who's a big Talanoa Hufanga guy?
Who's that?
Not just Troy Polamalu, Ronnie Lott.
Well, D'Amico loved him. Remember all those times we were out there at practice,
and him and
D'Amico would be out there early, like working on hand placement and just little.
But I'm
little,
telling you, Ronnie Lott is a big Talanoa Hufanga. Maybe it's because they both went to USC.
That could be it.
Yeah, I mean, I he said to someone who worked at, I believe, Channel 4. Like, look at the difference in the defense when they had him and when they didn't. Like, look at how many more touchdowns they gave up when they didn't have him. Anyway, that's a former USC DB talking about a current Niners USC DB. I just putting it out there, Ronnie Lott.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. Fonga didn't run a good 40 time, which is why he fell to the fifth round. Mm-hmm. But you know what? At safety, it matters a whole lot less because it's all about, are you flowing towards the ball? You know, it's right. Like if you could have 4.3 speed, but if you don't have instincts, you're Tarvarius Moore. Remember Tarvarius Moore in that Pittsburgh game a few years ago where it was just like a little sideline route to Juju Smith-Schuster, and he went for a touchdown because Moore took a bad angle. Moore was tall, long, fast, athletic, but no instincts. Hufanga's the opposite. He doesn't have quite those measurables, but man, he's got great instincts.
He does. Ezio Sanchez says, just came back from Cabo. Didn't see the Cabo click. Frowny face. What I missed the last 10 days is BA still here. You missed nothing. A lot of good content creation, though. Mark Salas says, Krug and Cone, same haircut. That's true. That is true. Okay, let's talk Ricky Pearsall. I have a concern about him. And it's kind of inspired from your back and forth you had with Vish during the season about Ayuk.
Okay.
And the importance of touchdowns. So Ricky Pearsall, good route runner. Tested well. Tough. Doesn't drop the ball. Lots of like. 4 touchdowns last year. Touchdown catches. Never had more than 5 touchdown catches in a season in college. How? I mean, Jacob Cowing had 13 last year.
I know.
How? That, to me, I feel like every successful NFL wide receiver had more than five touchdown catches in a season in college and lots of unsuccessful ones too. Like, how do you explain this one?
That, I mean, the only thing I can point to with any kind of like rock solid, because I couldn't speak to the rest of Florida's receiving core because I really didn't watch them enough this year, but their quarterbacks were bad. I mean, they had three different quarterbacks. They were all kind of subpar. So maybe that's it. Maybe
was Arizona's quarterback really good? I don't know. Maybe he was.
When he was at ASU, you mean?
No, I mean like Jacob Cowing had 13 touchdown catches this year. Like, was he not playing with
I think he was. I think he was. Wasn't it Jaden Delora?
I don't know.
He was pretty good. And Arizona had a good year. I mean, Arizona upset Oklahoma in the bowl game.
Probably because Jacob Cowing.
Yeah. Well, how about this for Jacob Cowing, Grant? Last two games for Jacob Cowing, he played the Territorial Cup game against ASU and then the bowl game against Oklahoma. The guy combined in those two games for 15 catches, 300 yards, and three touchdowns. So he got.
I can't wait to watch rolling. Cowing in rookie minicamp. I can't wait to watch him. I have a feeling he's going to be impossible to cover. Pearsall. I want to see what they look. I really want to see those two on the same field. We're going to see it this week. It's going to be really interesting. Pearsall's 5 inches taller, and I wonder what else he has going for him over Cowing. That's how I feel. Cowing's faster.
I don't know, but I'm not. The one thing you said about Pearsall that I don't know is true is you said he's tough. I don't know that he's tough.
Okay.
And I know people are getting tired of me saying this because I've been questioning this the last week, but to me, that one factor, that one trait is the difference between good pick, bad pick. If this guy's not tough, I mean, like I thought there was a Kyle Posey did a nice piece in Niners Nation where he went and took Bruce Feldman and Tony Pauline and a couple other scouts. And he kind of clipped all their scouting reports. And a couple of the things that I thought stood out was about Pearsall was just, you know, he gets knocked off his feet, spends some time on the ground. How tough is he? And to me, it's like you operate in the middle of the field, you better be tough. And if people say, well, he's like Julian Edelman, except he's bigger and faster. Okay, but Julian Edelman is like a rare tough guy whose dad was a mechanic, and he's just tough. I mean, Julian Edelman would fight anybody. And Cooper Kupp, even though he doesn't necessarily look all that tough, he's also kind of a little bit of a tougher guy inside. How is Pearsall going to be after he gets starched a couple times? Can he get off the line of scrimmage against NFL corners? Can he free himself up open? If he is legitimately a tough guy, then that's a great pick because the ball skills and the fit to the offense, and it's all there.
I guess why I'm talking about the touchdown thing, it seems like if he was never a guy on his team in college football that the other team really had to worry about. Like, he wasn't going to beat you. He might catch a few passes, but he wasn't going to really score a touchdown. He wasn't going to catch the pass that beat you. It's not like teams are like, how are we going to stop Ricky Pearsall this week? Like, well, he'll stop himself or his team will stop him. He doesn't seem like a guy who, even in college, was a game breaker. And now he will be right in the NFL, like maybe because of Kyle, but maybe Cowing will. Why do I think Cowing's going to be better than Pearsall? Who do you think is going to be better?
I do too. I do. I think Cowing could be better than Pearsall because he gets separation. He's got great hands. I there was a great YouTube. You know, sometimes you stumble on some amazing stuff on YouTube. Last night, I stumbled into Steve Smith doing a half-hour breakdown on Jacob Cowing. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
Steve Smith, in a lot of ways, is this guy. Yeah, it was about a half hour.
Okay.
And he loves Jacob Cowing. Loves him. Now, granted, he was him. Right. I mean, Steve Smith was 5'9" and super tough. And this guy's 5'8", but he's just like, there's so many different things that he talks about as far as nuances of playing wide receiver that he loves about Cowing. Yeah. I think Cowing, if I had to bet, I would bet right now that Cowing is better than Pearsall. Pearsall's lack of production to me is, you know, it's a little alarming when you look at the ball skills, the hands, the route running, all the quickness, the strength, the 4.41, the 42-inch vertical. The lack of production is a little alarming. But I would take Cowing over Pearsall, and I think I would probably take Cody Schrader over Guerrero.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, Pearsall played with Jaden Daniel and had 580 yards and 4 touchdowns. I don't get that. Then he played with Anthony Richardson and had 660 yards and 5 touchdowns. Like, you can make excuses for Ricky. Maybe he'll be great in the NFL, but Jacob, like, Cowing played at UTEP and went for 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns. And then he went for 1,000 yards at Arizona State. And last year he had 13 touchdowns. Like, and you got him in the fourth round. If you can get that guy in the fourth round, what is the, why do you have to take a wide receiver in round one? That's my other question, I guess.
I wonder if they knew they could get Cowing in the fourth, would they have gone on the line of scrimmage in round one? Or did they, and we've seen them, another thing we've seen a lot, and they did it again in this draft, we've seen them double up on positions repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take this running back and this running back, this receiver and this receiver, mm-hmm. this O-lineman and this O-lineman. It's like they love to double up. It's like they almost don't have the conviction that they filled the need with the first pick. So here comes the second pick. But I'll say this about Cowing. When you can marry the traits of awesome athlete, 4.3 speed with incredible production, that's when you're hitting the home run. That's when you land the big time guys.
That's why I think he's going to be good. Last question on this topic. So we saw what the Niners did. Kyle Shanahan drafts Ricky Pearsall. That's his guy. Then we see what Adam Peters did, former Niners guy. Now he's the GM with Washington. Waits until round three, drafts Luke McCaffrey. Who do you think will have a better career, McCaffrey or Pearsall?
Pearsall. I mean, Luke, you know, Christian, if you're watching this, I apologize, but it was a good story, you know, like, oh, you know, for the Niners, they may want to get Luke McCaffrey. It's a great story. Oh, you'd have both brothers. And he did have a very good year this last year for Rice in a first year receiver, was a quarterback, all conference player, had better 40 time than Christian. But then, you know what? I don't believe in a lot of that stuff. I believe in roll the tape. And he didn't create separation at Rice. I mean, I watched 4 games of him thinking Niners were going to take him. I don't think he got separation more than twice in 4 games, like real 3, 4, 5 yard separation. Well, if you're not separating against, you know, playing for Rice, you're not separating against the Rams. So I think
13 touchdown catches.
Yeah, no, I know he was productive, but I don't, the corners were just glued to him. So I think he's going to be, if he's good, it's going to take him a couple years to work on the nuances of playing receiver.
I'm taking McCaffrey. Pearsall has been playing this position his whole life. McCaffrey's just getting started and he's got those bloodlines. Anyway, which camp battle are you most intrigued to watch?
There's several. There's several, but I would say one is defensive line and in the interior. We know Hargrave's going to start, but, you know, I've got a buddy who has a real big fan of Jordan Elliott who says that Jordan Elliott absolutely is going to win that job. And then I've had other people who really believe that Malik Collins is going to win that job and really run away with it. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle because there's other guys besides those guys as well. But I think both those guys are kind of on that level where it's time for them to produce and they're both in their prime years. And I that's an important spot for the Niners. I think that's going to be huge. And then the other one, I like Jalen Graham to beat out Devondre Campbell for that second backer spot opposite Warner until Greenlaw gets back. I think Graham's going to beat out Campbell. I don't know what happened last year with Graham. I asked Wilkes about it late in the year, and he's like, well, he played a hybrid safety linebacker role, and that's why he's behind Winters. But he was awesome in the preseason and just never to be heard from again. So I think what we saw in the preseason was real, and I think Graham gets that second stack backer spot.
I'm into the cornerback battle. I think this one's really important. They're going to have Javarius Ward, Diamador Lenore, I imagine. Those will be their starters. And then in the nickel defense, Lenore will go into the slot. He's really good there. I couldn't imagine anyone else would play that position better. So who is going to be that outside corner, the number 3 corner in the nickel defense? It could be Ambry. It could be Isaac Yiadom. It could be Rock Ya-Sin. It could be Samuel Womack. It could be Renardo Green. And it seemed like
Darrell
it's
pretty Luter, maybe.
Luter. It could be Darrell Luter Jr. There's like 6 guys who have a pretty even chance of winning the job, and I think it'll be interesting. It should be a complete open competition. and whoever plays the best in practice will win. I mean, probably the favorite would have to be Yadam, although just because he's a vet coming off a good year. But if Renardo Green plays well, how do you keep him off the field?
Right. And then, you know, is it possible that Green could be the slot and Lenore moves outside? Because Green also is really aggressive against the run. He's a hitter. He's a self-proclaimed dog.
What do the Niners list him at? What's his weight?
Like 185, 190. You know, he's like under 190. He's pretty small.
I might rather keep Lenore in there. Lenore's like 200. I think he's a little bit tougher against the run. I'm sure Green has the right mindset, but he might need to add a little bit of bulk before he can play like Lenore.
Yeah. I mean, Yadam's kind of the wild card because he is coming off a terrific year and he's got great size.
Yep. So maybe he's the favorite to win that job. And maybe you have Renardo Green as sort of like the backup in the slot, the backup outside as well. But that's going to be interesting because the winner gets to play a lot, like 70% of the snaps. And then I'm also really interested in Pooney versus whoever they let him go against. Where is Pooney going to play? Is he competing at right guard? Is he competing at right tackle? Is he competing at center? Is he competing? Because it seems like he's probably just as talented, if not more talented, than guys starting for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see, is it all the old guys? You know, is it Brendel and, you know, Burford, Feliciano, McKivitz? Is it all those guys, despite the fact that the Niners didn't look all that great on the offensive line? Or is now Pooney or Nugent or this kid Mays from Southern Miss or Kingston are one of these guys? It seems like they're all kind of guards or centers. There's not a tackle there, but, you know, you got some guys who can move and have some good traits. Now, can Forster coach him up? Who's ready to play? Pooney, to me, seems like if he's what they think he is, that he might be the starter at right guard.
I'd like to see that. I mean, it seems like they brought back John Feliciano. It seems like they like Feliciano, at least for the short term. So I don't know. Like, is Pooney going to get a chance to compete against Feliciano? Or what about Colton McKivitz? Can we talk about Colton McKivitz for a second?
Sure.
I don't really understand why I do understand why the Niners like Colton McKivitz. He's really cheap. He's really, really cheap. I think his cap number this year is less than $3 million at a position like offensive tackle. That's like having a guy in a rookie deal. But they always have to help him in pass protection. When they run to the right, they don't get big plays. Christian McCaffrey has to really fight for his yards. I don't get it.
You know, I mean, outside of the fact the guy's a great guy, he's a great guy. He's a cool guy to talk to. But on a championship caliber club, I think he's your sixth offensive lineman. He's the guy who's like, you know what? Valuable as hell, man. You can put him in any of the five spots and he's smart enough and competitive enough. And he doesn't hem and haw and worry and that kind of thing. But it's hard to deny any of the criticisms. I mean, he did give up 3 sacks in that, you know, the sack totals a little, you know, distorted. Week one was a nightmare, right? Against TJ Watt. But then, and he didn't allow any sacks in what the Green Bay game or the Detroit game, but they didn't have a lot of success running right. Now, how much is that is Colton? How much of that was Burford / Feliciano? My eyes tell me that Brendel, despite the fact he was a Pro Bowl alternate, I think Brendel's the weak spot. Now, I love him. He's another good guy to talk to, but I think Brendel's a weaker player at center than McKivitz is at tackle. And I'm eager to see if they have any upgrade potential there, because I mean, you remember that Cincinnati game. It was like, literally, DJ Reader just ragdolled him and threw him into the backfield and just blew up the Niner run game. And it was like they couldn't move Reader at all. And now Reader's in Detroit, you know, on that line with Aiden Hutchinson, and may stand between the Niners and the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think they need to be bigger bodied and stronger at the point than what Brendel offers in the center spot. But they could upgrade all three of those spots, to be honest.
It just seems to me that the Niners are built to attack the edges. I mean, it's an outside zone system. You have a smaller running back who's fast. You have a great tight end. You have a great left tackle. Like, they're really good at attacking the left edge. They had eight runs of over 20 yards and three runs of over 50 yards going wide left last season. It seems like if you're that dominant going to the left, then you should also be able to hit people with reverses to the right and counters to the right and outside zones to the right for big plays. And when they had Mostert and McGlinchey when they were young, they did all the time, even when Tom Compton was the guy. And now with McKivitz, it just seems like it's much more of a, there's no speed on that side of the offensive line. There's no quickness. I just don't get it. He doesn't seem like a quality run blocker to me. Maybe he is, and I haven't grinded the tape.
What bothers me more about the Niners on the line is they used to be great defending and running short yardage, and now they're not good at either. They don't stop anybody in short yardage, and they don't get any pop or any push in short yardage. They can't. I mean, Banks is a big, wide-bodied guy, and Trent. So I understand why they're better running left.
Right.
But that's kind of why I think most people looked at the Niners and said, man, they really need an upgrade on the right side because they don't have that player at center, guard, or tackle. Now, Feliciano could have been that guy 5 years ago, and maybe he can be that guy for a half here or a couple games there. But I kind of question whether he can do it every game all season long.
It seemed like the Niners want, in terms of how their offensive line is constructed for the run game, they want the left side to be able to get knockback, push back the defense, create displacement. The right side isn't really built that way. You know, it's more like the cutback side. It's more like the finesse run side, like if that's the point of attack. So wouldn't you want, I don't know, like, wouldn't you want someone a little bit more athletic at right tackle? Like Pooney? Pooney compared to McKivitz, he's quicker than McKivitz. He's a better athlete than McKivitz. Is he worse in pass protection? How could he be? Sorry, I'm not trying to be snarky, but it's like, honestly, how could he be worse?
I mean, he's inexperienced, and most people think he's a guard. And I don't know if he has a guard. Like, the one thing about the tackles in this league, when you watch them, you know, and you watch them cut the cut-ups of the pass protection snaps, there's an impressive kick out. You know what I mean? And McKivitz is not impressive on the kick out, and Pooney really isn't. I mean, I don't see that. I don't see that super athletic kick out.
Fair enough.
McGlinchey wasn't good at that either, but as you said, McGlinchey did make up for it with being a well above average run blocker.
So McGlinchey was so bad at that kick out. He would like over exaggerate it, and then he'd be like totally off balance and get knocked back all the time.
McGlinchey. I felt bad for McGlinchey because McGlinchey really only had one problem. His one problem was that he couldn't kick out. So then he would over lunge, overextend, lose his balance, get clubbed on the inside shoulder, and just get look. Just, you know, all of a sudden you have these. You know, he's parallel to the horizontal ground.
Yes. So at least you don't have those moments with McKivitz.
The guy that I'm most interested in of the offensive lineman they got is the undrafted guy from Southern Miss, because that guy looks like a tremendous athlete, like a great athlete with long arms who Forster might be able to turn into something. So we'll see. I mean, drafted four offensive linemen. It seems Bryson Mays. They drafted and signed four rookie offensive linemen. And hopefully they've done enough because if there's one surprise of this offseason from John Lynch, it was, hey man, we love Trent, we love Colton, and we love Jalen Moore, and we're set. And if you had told me at the end of the year that John Lynch was going to sit down and be like, yep, these are the three tackles we got is all we need. You know what I mean? I would have said no chance.
And Brandon Parker. Don't forget Brandon Parker.
Yeah, no, he's Matt Pryor 2024.
Okay. All right. Let's do some sleeper picks. 6'8", man. For tonight's game, we got Cleveland and Boston, Dallas and OKC.
I'll take
Cleveland, Boston.
I'll take OKC and Boston.
Okay, but let's make some picks for the players though. So, like, Donovan Mitchell, 28.5 points, more or less.
I love Donovan Mitchell right now. I would say more.
More? In the last five games, last game he had 39, game before that 50? Okay, yeah. Donovan Mitchell
going
more.
Going off.
Okay, he's going to be playing Boston. So Tatum, 26.5 points, more or less.
I'm going to go under on that one, less. Tatum in some of these games, you know, he grew up idolizing Kobe. He's 6'10", you know, with all kinds of inside game, but he just falls in love with that Kobe, pound the dribble, dribble between your legs. He gets lost and tries to be Kobe in some of these big games. I'll say under, less than that.
Okay. All right. Dallas OKC. Luka Doncic, 32.5 points, more or less.
More. Yeah, Luka's. More. Yeah, Luka's going off.
Okay. How about Kyrie? 25.5.
I'm going to say less.
Less. It's going to be a Luka game?
Yeah.
I like okay. Luka. Last one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Alexander, 28.5. Ooh. Is he due?
He's so good, but he's kind of got an all-around game. I'll say less.
Yeah. Okay, let's go less.
Man, that Minnesota-Denver game last night was awesome, man. Minnesota just put Denver away. They're up 2-0.
I didn't realize Minnesota was that good.
Minnesota. Yeah. Anthony Edwards, my goodness, he is amazing.
He certainly is. Okay, I got a question for you. Will Isaac Grando make the team? Because Scott McLuhan seems to think he won't.
Scott McLuhan doesn't think he's going to make the team. You know, most teams keep 10 combined wide receivers and running backs. Well, we know it's Debo Ayuk, JJ, and Pearsall and Cowing. So if you cut all your other receivers, which would be Trent, whatever they just signed, Ronnie Bell, Tay Martin, all their guys, all their other receivers would be cut. Chris Conley, that means you would have five. And then your backs, you've got, you know, you've got obviously CMC, JP Mason, Mitchell, and then you've got, you know, Schrader and Grando and Juice. So that's six. So if you cut all those receivers, you're still going to have 11 combined if all the guys I think can make it. So somebody's going to get cut, traded, hurt. I'll say he makes it, but, and I've been saying this for a couple weeks since they drafted him. I've watched this guy a lot. I don't see a running back. I see an athlete. He was Mr. In the state of Indiana, he was Mr. Football, but he played wide receiver. And then he was never the bell cow back. He's never had 17 touches in a game, except for once in his entire career. His best college game was the bowl game against SC at the end of this year. So he's like a blocker. He's a speedster. He's a receiver. But he doesn't have those running back instincts or traits or pick and slide or any of that. So I would say he to me, Grant, looks like the replacement for Juice. Mm. And he looks to me like a fullback. They gave him number 49. That's a fullback number. He moves like a fullback. He looks like a fullback. If he makes it, it will be in some role as a fullback. So is there any chance the Juice doesn't make the team?
No. I disagree. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think he's going to make the team as the kick returner. I think the 49ers or Kyle Shanahan is trying to anticipate how to approach the new kickoff rules. What kind of a player will be best suited for this new XFL style kickoff? And I think he decided this 6-foot, 220-pound guy who runs a 4.3 might be good at that.
Possibly.
We'll see.
But what about Cowing? Couldn't Cowing do that role?
Cowing was, yeah, maybe. His numbers as a returner in college were awful, especially as a punt returner. So I don't know about that one. We'll see.
I'm not, you know, I got to be fully honest. I have not spent the time to really sit down and grasp the differences and the nuances and the new kickoff rules. So I'd have to go look at it again. But man, you trade two fifth-round picks for a fourth-round pick.
Well, you catch it at the three, and the two lines are like, what, 5 yards apart, 10 yards apart, and they don't get much of a running start. So you have like everyone around you. It's kind of like a running play. I don't know.
Maybe that's his role, but I mean, I'll say this. He just, you know, but I mean, the Niners have gone for these high round, you know, third round running backs, and they never quite seem like they've got the right, you know, Trey Sermon danced in the hole. He just was not a hit the hole guy. This guy's more of a hit the hole guy, but there's no pick and slide. There's no everything that Sermon could do. He doesn't have that. So,
Shanahan compared to Elijah Mitchell. You don't see it?
I think he is a lot like Elijah Mitchell from the standpoint of Elijah Mitchell, I think, fumbled once at Louisiana, and I think this guy never fumbled, hardly ever. So I think
I don't think Elijah Mitchell ever fumbled. I don't think he ever did.
But I mean, this guy, Elijah Mitchell's got awesome instincts, like in short yardage to like find the hole.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, this guy just, he runs up the back of his offensive line. He doesn't have that, those kinds of instincts, but he's big and fast, and he can, and, but I mean, I'll say this too, is even though he's big and fast, I didn't see that speed on the film really, except when he got to that second level and he busted through. He didn't show that, like, kind of, he's not like quick to the hole and quick through the hole. He's kind of a build-up speed guy. So I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I watched his highlights and it didn't seem like highlights. That was a bad sign. It just seemed like normal plays.
He was Jason, never the guy. I mean, never was the guy.
Jason, we're gonna get back to you in a second. Give me so if you don't think Isaac Garendo is getting cut, give me someone you do think is gonna get cut who's gonna surprise people. You're gonna say Brandon Allen.
Yeah, well, I do like Tanner Mordecai. I mean, I could see Brandon Allen getting cut. I'm trying to think of who's kind of an established guy.
Samuel Womack. God, he's not established.
That would really piss me off if he got cut, because I think he's good and he's going to wind up somewhere. Like Flanagan Fowles, somebody like that. I could see him getting cut just because there's too many other linebackers there.
He's got guaranteed money.
Yeah, but I mean, you got three special teams linebackers now, and Curtis Robinson's really cheap.
Yeah.
So I would say Flanagan Fowles, maybe Brandon Allen, maybe Tanner Mordecai beats out Brandon Allen. I mean, they redid the Juice thing. Eventually, Juice is not going to be here forever. Now, obviously, he took a pay cut, but what if, you know, I mean, Juice always has been kind of questionable as far as what they pay him and what they get out of him.
Yeah, I would think
Garendo sitting right there.
Garendo, Cam Latu. Is that a surprise though?
I mean, it's totally expected if he plays the way he played last year.
You were there.
Horrible.
He could not catch the ball. Could not catch the ball.
I mean, you know, when you have balls ricocheting off your face mask.
Yes.
That's not good. Maybe I hate to say it because he's one of my favorite guys, but maybe Drake.
Yeah.
Maybe Drake. Maybe Burford too. If Zakel plays well or some of these other linemen that they draft play well. I mean, you don't get forever. You don't get forever. There's a lot of those Burford, 42 draft choices haven't done squat.
Burford and Drake are both really young. And I kind of get the feeling they were drafted by Adam. They seem like Adam Peters picks, because now we see like the Niners without Adam Peters, they want the oldest players possible. They want the most experienced players possible. Drake Jackson, Spencer Burford, they were like 20, 21 when they got drafted and hasn't worked out. I wonder if those two make the team. Yeah.
I'd be worried to cut Burford just because I think in a lot of ways he's what you were looking for in a young offensive lineman. He carries, he's smart. He's got long arms. He's multiple positions, but he regressed last year and he needs to step up and play much, much better football.
Jason says my two goats, most likely camp cut, We just addressed that. Also, what are the chances T.O. makes the team? And if he does, will Daddy be around too much and start drama? Oh, I love that. Yeah.
We saw him at the local pro day, and he, you know, isn't it amazing how gifted some people are? I mean, this guy didn't play any football at all. He didn't play at all until he was a sophomore in high school. According to him, he never really get on the field with any consistency. He was on the team as a sophomore, but he didn't really play until like he was a senior in high school. And yet he's going to be in an NFL camp, and you know, it's just the genes. I mean, he's got amazing genes. T.O. was an incredible athlete, and his kid is not quite as big or as athletic, but he's a chip off the old block, and you can see the athleticism that he does have. It's pretty impressive.
I hope his kid makes the practice squad and Terrell Owens gets like a weekly radio gig or like on YouTube or something, and he just trashes Kyle Shanahan every week. My kid didn't get called up. He didn't get 18 targets this week. What the hell? I want that. I just want to have T.O. second guessing Kyle. Kyle isn't ready for that.
Welcome to the Krug Show. Tariq, I mean, Terrell, what's your thoughts on the game? Get my guy the damn ball.
You know? Hell yeah. Just be awesome. What is Kyle thinking? Frank Thomosen, like smashed on both channels. Thank you very much. Josh Alvarez, I think people are sleeping on the Floyd signing. Are they? I like the Floyd signing.
I mean, Leonard Floyd is no doubt better than Chase Young and Randy Gregory. And the only question I would have is do you think he's better than D Ford was when they went to the Super Bowl? And I would probably say yes. Now, D Ford really got off the ball, but this guy's motor is better. The production's more consistent. I mean, he's a double-digit sack guy. And the only question I would have is, can you find somebody else on first and second down to take some of those snaps so that you can maximize this guy on third down? That would be my
concern. Shouldn't be playing more than 55% of the snaps. He should be a passing down specialist, in my opinion. So who is taking the duties of run defense? Gross Matos?
Yeah, Gross Matos, Jackson.
Not Drake.
It's got to be. Beal. I mean, I'll say this. Beal definitely improved. I talked to Chris Eric at the end of the year, and he said, man, I really feel like he's got a lot of potential. He definitely was feeling good about himself late in the year, but I mean, he went to Georgia. He didn't really play. And then he comes to the Niners. He didn't really play. I mean, you know, sometimes it's time to stop talking about your potential and get on the field and do it.
So Ricky Williams says, Ricky Williams says, okay, so they've made additions to the defense via trades in the past. What's the addition they can make to have an impacted in this upcoming season? What's the addition they can make to have an impact in the upcoming season?
Defensively,
well, Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, Talanoa. Who's tight end two? Eric Sobert.
Mason Plein.
He's a project. Can he block? I need someone who could block.
I mean, what an interesting spot. I mean, they've seemingly really care about tight end. They looked like they really wanted to replace Kittle. And they went for the two in the third round. Then they brought in Braden Willis. Supposedly they gave him the gold helmet designation. Both these guys didn't see the field at all last year. The question is, in year two, which of those two guys is going to show up dramatically improved, Willis, and who's going to basically be the same?
Latu. I want to see.
I think Latu's going to be improved.
Good.
But you heard Kyle. Is Latu the number two? Did you ask that question?
No, someone else.
Somebody asked that question. Is Latu the number two tight end now? And instead of being like, well, he could be, you know what? He's in the running. No, he's not. You got to be here first. You got to practice. You got to be on the field. They obviously don't like whatever his contribution has been thus far. Otherwise, he would have soft pedaled that. The second year guy that you invested a day two pick in. You're just going to shoot that down? No. I mean, why? Because Jake Tongues is going to be in his way? I mean, they don't have anybody at tight end. That's why I love this kid, Plein. And yeah, you're right. He's got a long way to go, but he's kind of like Jack Coletto last year. He's super, super smart, but he's also got 10-inch hands and and, you know, major hops. So I don't know. I'm going to go based on my eyes. I'll take Pline, but they needed somebody, man. Like, they should go sign Robert Tonyan. They should go sign Mercedes Lewis. They should go
Logan
sign
Thomas,
a blocking tight end that they absolutely know can open holes.
Whatever happened to Jack Coletto?
He's on Pittsburgh's camp roster.
The one that got away.
He was really smart, but he wasn't an NFL athlete.
No.
He was a college.
Give me the number one issue / need on this team following this entire offseason.
Number one issue and need, probably tight end. Probably tight end. I'm hoping it's not defensive line, because, I mean, they didn't stop the run. They didn't do anything to add anybody in the draft, though they did give Evan Anderson $300,000, which was a shocker. And maybe they see something they really like there. But I would say tight end. I mean, Tongues is just a guy. Willis is shaped like a fullback. Latu, as we said, you know, can't catch a cold. I mean, maybe he was just thinking too much. Pline, I love, but Pline's a raw rookie coming out of Furman. So what do you got? I mean, some teams have four tight ends. They lost Dwelly. He's not there. They lost Warner. He's in Atlanta. I would say they badly need an NFL caliber addition besides what they have at tight end before camp.
I like that. I'm still going to go with pass protection. You could also go with run defense, but I feel like you could go with run defense. It almost cost them their season in the NFC Championship game, but I feel like pass protection is consistently subpar. It's shown in every statistical metric. It's just not good. It doesn't cost them in the regular season for a lot of reasons. Brock Purdy's a big one. He does a great job of avoiding pressure on his own. But in the Super Bowl, it seemed like the pressure was unrelenting, and it wasn't just one offensive lineman's fault. It seemed like while certain offensive linemen were getting beat one-on-one, it was also like they were getting overwhelmed by pressure schemes. They weren't deciphering where the pressure was coming from. Just like an overall team effort to pick up the pass rush was terrible. And it seemed like that was a big reason they didn't win the Super Bowl. So I don't know, maybe they'll do a better job of picking up those simulated pressures, those blitzes, in the future, but pass protection is a huge issue for this team.
Yeah. The one thing is about pass protection, it's kind of like, it's not that I don't think it's a concern. I do think it's a concern, but the same way that teams can neutralize teams that have great defensive lines, as you said, Purdy has been able to kind of neutralize a lot of, I mean, Dallas had a big rush, but the Niners absolutely destroyed them. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the ball comes out and it's coming out right now. So it's like, I almost wonder about the wisdom in making D-line like the focal point of your cap and your team, you know, because teams can neutralize, it seems like, a mighty rush, except for the Niners when they're going against Chris Jones with a Super Bowl ring on the table. Then it's like, hey, you know what? Let's combo block Brendel's guy and let's leave Chris Jones running free at the quarterback. I mean, you know, and Forster, I can't decide. Is Forster a great coach? I mean, everybody I talk to says Forster's a great coach. When I talk to Forster, I think he's very impressive as far as his answers. He seems to have answers. But then what young offensive lineman outside of Banks is really developing? Where's Zakel?
It's not like Banks is an elite player.
Right. I mean, where's Burford? I mean, Burford went backwards this year. I don't know. I'd like to think that Forster's a good coach. I know people in football that swear to me that Forster's a very good coach and that he's like one of the better coaches they have on their staff. But where's the proof of the young offensive line prospects? I mean, Bob McKittrick made several late round guys, big time guys, Jesse Sapolu, 11th round, only Harris Barton. I mean, you could talk to your dad about this. Only Harris Barton was the only blue chipper that they had on their offensive line. It was always undrafted guys and late round guys, 10th round picks. And McKittrick made the whole thing work and they won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the young, you know, the young player that Chris has turned into just a stalwart?
You know who was a really good offensive line coach I think was better than Chris Forster? No disrespect to Chris. Mike Solari. He developed Yapati. He developed Anthony Davis. He developed Alex Boone. He helped develop Joe Staley. Mike Solari was a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
He is. He's still around.
He is. Kansas City, I think, isn't he? Or maybe
Dallas? I don't know.
Yeah, he was a Niner coach for multiple regimes. And yeah, he's a really good football coach. I mean, and there's a lot of great offensive line coaches in history. Alex Gibbs, Hudson Hawk, Dante Zarnecchia with the Patriots.
Yep.
I'll tell you, watching the draft, I was a little envious of the Steelers. The Steelers, in my mind, got the best center in Zach Frazier, the best guard in Mason McCormick, and maybe the best tackle in Fatana.
Fatana.
All in one draft.
Yeah. And they got Roman Wilson.
Spectacular. Would have loved to see the Niners get that kind of a draft where they totally built the fortress around Brock Purdy.
The Steelers are very disciplined in how they draft.
They know what they're looking for.
They know what they're looking for and when to get it.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, last topic, favorite and least favorite rookie addition this year.
I'm going to say favorite is Cowing. No question. I think he's electric. Once again, when you have college production and great measurables, he's small, but he's got great timed measurables. Mm-hmm. I think that's a recipe for a terrific player. So I love the Cowing pick, especially in round four. He's small bodied, but he's not small. He plays big. So I love that pick. I guess I would say the one I don't love the most is probably Kingston, the offensive guard from SC. I mean, some people like him. He's obviously strong. He's pretty athletic. But I mean, to me, it was like they should have gone offensive line early in the interior with like a Frazier or Jackson Powers Johnson. Instead, they went Pearsall. And I felt like they were chasing another offensive line addition late. And they just, you know, there were way better players on the board.
Good choices. I'm going to try to go with different people just to shake it up, but I like yours. Cowing's a great one. My favorite pick, I guess, would be Renardo Green. I would have preferred an offensive tackle, but taking a corner for the first time in round two and for the first time in 20 years, even though it was the last pick in round two, it's pretty cool. And yeah, his issue is he's a little grabby. He may commit some penalties, but I think the Niners thinking is like, maybe on the Niners, he won't get called for those. Like Charvarius Ward had that issue. You're a great defense. Maybe we'll get the benefit of the doubt. Kind of like how the Chiefs offensive tackles get the benefit of the doubt in the Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're thinking. But I think Renardo Green should be, he's more talented than Ambry Thomas. He's much more talented than Isaac Yiadom. It's a nice addition to this defense. And maybe he ends up being a slot guy. Maybe he ends up being someone who can blitz and be a playmaker in that sense too. So that's
I loved one. His reaction to being drafted. He was just like all biz. Like this isn't the celebration that I'm waiting for. This is just the beginning. I liked that one. I'll say this too. I have a real great feeling about the running back from Missouri, Schrader. His idol is McCaffrey. He's going to get a chance to play with McCaffrey. The Niners have one of the better running back coaches going. They've had this great run with these undrafted free agents at running back and these late round guys. And to me, I mean, the SEC had a bunch of good backs, a bunch. The Tennessee back was killer. The Georgia back was really good. This was the first team all SEC running back. And to me, I really wanted Blake Corum, who went to the Rams. But in a lot of ways, this guy, Cody Schrader, reminds me a lot of Blake Corum. You know, he's just small. He's a 5'9", 215-pound guy who doesn't have long speed, but, man, he's got everything else. He can catch. He's got instincts. He works incredibly hard. He's just a battler. And guy started at Truman State, transferred to Missouri, and became first-team All-SEC. So I can't wait to see Schrader.
Okay, my least favorite pick.
Yeah, who's your least?
Not my least favorite player, but my least favorite pick, Ricky Pearsall. I don't understand the pick. I'm trying to understand the pick, but when you look at the fact that they got Cowing in round four, they doubled up at the position, and The way I look at it is, it was reported today that the Niners were essentially shopping Debo until about 2 hours before round two.
Right. That so, came out today.
Yeah. So they draft Pearsall not knowing whether Debo would be on the team this year. They draft Pearsall knowing that they were going to be including Debo in trade discussions up until very close to the start of the next day. So I'm sure there was a scenario in their minds where Debo would get traded, that they would get the second round pick they were looking for, whatever they were looking for, and they'd trade him and Pearsall would be starting. That didn't happen. And now you have a guy who's almost 24, who's might be a starter in 2025, but now he's just like an older first round pick backup. That couldn't have been the, I mean, maybe they're okay with it, but it just doesn't seem like something a championship team would do.
I would put him into the category of, and sometimes players are in this category, he's boom or bust. I know. I mean, he's not going to be like, he's okay. No, he's either going to be this guy that's really dependable over the middle and it's uncanny. He's their Puka, or he's on the ground, hurt a lot. Cowing takes his, you know, his rookie spot, and he's kind of just like, you know, he's, well, we love him and he looks great in practice, but he's hurt, you know, and he can't get out there. Cause to me, he's operating in the middle of the field and the production wasn't there. I want, for a guy who catches the ball that well with that kind of ball skills, that kind of route running, to me, he should have had better production. So he's either going to be their Puka and he's just going to be so frustrating for other teams on third and five. And then he's going to be this invaluable continuity piece, or he's going to be, you know what? He's just too soft. He can't keep his feet. He can't stay healthy. And he's, and you know, he kind of washes out in a couple of years. I would say boom or bust.
Puka is listed at 205. Cooper Kupp is listed at 208. Pearsall is listed at 186. And he's almost 24. I'm 186. I don't know, man. And he's going to be living over the middle? I don't know. This sounds like Dante Pettis all over again.
With better ball skills, but, yes. You know, it's like everybody's got a game plan until you get hit in the mouth, until you taste your own blood. Uh-huh. Everybody's courageous until they taste the blood in their mouth. And then all of a sudden it's like, maybe all of a sudden his ball skills, he starts dropping balls. He starts looking over his shoulder. I mean, the one common denominator, and this is why he's going to, I say boom or bust, the Niner receivers and the Niner weapons, all of them own the middle of the field. Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey, all these guys run across the middle of the field with not an ounce of fear ever. If this guy is afraid running over the middle, it's going to stand out like a sore thumb.
I'm not saying he's going to be afraid. I want to give more credit than that. Because Pettis seemed like he had
an issue. You get hit. You don't want to get
hit. Yeah. But like at 186, how many of those hits can you take? 186? He's not 5'8", 186.
Can defensive backs separate him from the football?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in an era now where, I mean, the one thing about Puka got starched a ton last year, but he always held on. He's got crazy hands, and you couldn't just pop him.
He's not small.
No.
He's not small.
Really strong.
He's really strong.
To me, it's all about that kid's toughness, because if he's really, really, really tough, then maybe they found something. I don't want to go against him, because let's be honest, Brock Purdy lives in the middle of the field. Brock Purdy's excellent at getting off of platform and finding a new launch point. And this guy looks like the kind of guy who's going to run routes in the middle of the field and on secondary moves and secondary movement. He's going to work back to the quarterback, and he could be just an invaluable continuity guy. It's third and six, and it's like Debo's covered, Ayuk's covered, Kittle's covered, everybody's covered, but Brock moves five steps to his right and Pearsall moves six steps to his left, and he's wide open. But I don't see any run after the catch. He's going to catch it and go to the ground.
Remember earlier in the offseason, they were interested in Tyler Boyd.
Right. He signed today with Tennessee, I think.
Yeah. Well, Tyler Boyd's a slot receiver. And this guy, what they talk about with this guy seems like a lot like what Tyler Boyd brings to the table. Tyler Boyd was a second round pick. He was the 55th pick in the draft. I guess taking Tyler Boyd in round one isn't the worst, I guess.
I mean, I think what we're seeing here is that Shanahan may be a little bit frustrated by the lack of ball skills of his receivers. And so he went for two guys with tremendous ball skills. One guy can really, really run in Cowing, but the other guy is known for his ball skills and doesn't, you know, he runs 4.41. We'll see. I you know, that's the other thing too. He ran for the stopwatch 4.41. I don't know if I saw that, to be honest. I don't know that I saw 4.4 speed from Pearsall. So,
yeah,
I mean, you know, it's like, it's the opposite of field fast. Hey, you know, this guy runs 4.5, but he's field fast. Pearsall may run 4.41, but he might not be field fast.
Right. Blood Moon, get rid of Latu, sign Tanyan. Latu shaking my damn head. Oh my God. Says Blood Moon.
There's a chance Latu shows up and is worlds better, because there's a lot of mental grinding that goes into being a tight end in this offense, fullback as well. All the shifts, motions, all the different things you got to remember. He looked like a guy whose head was spinning last year. This guy cannot be that bad of a receiver. He had to have been just too in his thoughts. I'd be shocked.
I like your positivity. I don't have anything nice to say, so I'm just going to not say anything at all.
I got to think that Latu, after a year in the system, shows up this year, knowing all the plays, where to go, and catches the ball way better.
Catch the ball. That's what you got to do.
It was comical last year. It was like, what? Really?
Again? Yeah. Again? It was multiple times of practice.
To the point where, you know, you can see the players don't ever react negatively, right? They're not like, oh, or what the hell? You never see that. But if you go to practice every day like we do, there's the nonverbal, what the heck are we watching? And by the end of training camp last year, that's what every Latu drop, you know, produced, is like a sideline full of guys going, you know, having that nonverbal of what in the heck are we watching?
Yeah, it seemed like he lost a lot of confidence. So
yeah,
you got a year away from it. Come back. Let's see what you got. Because he was clearly in his own head. I agree with that.
And the job's there for him. I mean, let's be honest. There's nobody standing between him and a job. They're going to carry three, maybe four tight ends. They really only have one proven guy. So if Latu can show, you know, be anything at all, the job's there for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, it's 3:30 on the West Coast. Make sure you like and subscribe both to my channel and to Larry's. Most importantly, Larry's, also mine, would be nice. I'll take it. Thanks for watching. Larry, good to see you. And I'll see you at Rookie Mini Camp, whenever the Niners let us know when that is.
Wait, what? We got a little
Birdman Jr. Is that it?
Is that a little green?
Remember, for 26 months.
There you go.
Thank you, Birdman Jr. 86. All right, guys. I'll be back tomorrow. See you in Santa Clara, Larry.
Peace.